Listen, I'm going to start with you right away, King. What did you see? How did you have the score?
First off, it was a great fight. Shout out to both fighters. They both did their thing. It was a high-level boxing at its finest from rounds 1 through 12. Great fight. Hats off to both of them. It was a great fight. I thought Bivol started off strong. Viterbiev is kind of a slow starter, so he kind of started off slow. But, like, by the time the fourth, fifth round, he started picking up the pace. He's getting his shit off. He's, like, more active, pushing Bivol back. Not everything was landing, but the thing was, it was the force behind it was just, it was definitely bothering Bivol. And it was just a tit-for-tat match back and forth. Through the first five rounds, after the 10 rounds, I had it 5-5 even. I thought Viterbiev won the last two rounds, and I thought he did enough to win the fight. I thought Bivol slowed down at the end, and that kind of cost him. So it could have gone either way, but I had it 7-5, Artur Viterbiev.
All right, I'm going to bring in my co-host, the co-host of both boxing, Ezra Boxing. Listen, you scored, you saw Ezra, 12 rounds of boxing for the undefeated title. Ezra, how did you have it scored? Did the judges make that decision?
I scored it for Bivol, but I get the logic of the judges scoring the fight for Benjamin because he was pushing him back. And Bivol was winning, I thought, winning rounds by outboxing him. But it doesn't look good when you're pushed back. And even if he's hitting the guard, he's still working on you, right? So I can see the logic. Like, I'm not like, oh, this is a robbery. I see the way it could have went Benjamin because it's just, you know, if you're going to outbox someone, you kind of need to – sometimes you got to, like, you got to make sure it's clear, right? I got to make sure I'm clear that the work I'm doing in the middle of the ring, I'm putting the exclamation point on it. And at points, he didn't do that. It looked like it from the ninth. I was like, oh, that ninth round was perfect for him. That's exactly what he needs to do to finish this out. But Beardman would find a shot to get him a little bit shaky, and then he would work him against the ropes and all that. So – I'm okay with the score. I thought Bivol won, but I see why they put it for Benjamin.
All right. My guy, JB, the boxing store. Are you going to turn down boxing store? All right. I guess not. Team over narrative, A-side boxing. What's going on, man? How'd you score, man? What did you see tonight?
Hey, Matt, listen, man, I think it was a little bit of facts and a little bit of trickery, man. I think Bivol got in his Lomachenko, not Bivol, I think Viterbiev got in his Lomachenko bag where the last 30 to 45 seconds, it looked like, you know what I mean, he was dominating the fight, but it really was the last 30 to 45 seconds. I feel like that one round where Bivol kind of hurt Viterbiev a little bit and he went at him, and then Viterbiev hurt him, it looked like he didn't go for again after that. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, as fighters, as fans, we always talk about the championship rounds. 11 and 12, Viterbiev clearly dominated those two rounds. You know what I'm saying? I thought Bivol won the fight. You know what I'm saying? 116 or 112, I can't see that. I can't see 8-4. No fucking way. Not in my eyes. I can't see 8-4. But again, I just think that Viterbiev, again, sometimes, man, When it looked like the last 30 seconds you dominating them rounds, and then some rounds are swing rounds, I guess that's where the judges came up with that 8-4 shit, man. But again, congratulations to the Viterbiev, man. To me, like I said, I thought Bivol did enough to win the fight. But again, when you them last 30 to 45 seconds, when you pull those rounds out, and then obviously around 11 and 12, Bivol was in there trying to survive. So, I mean, hey, that was a good fight. I would love to see a rematch, man. But I had Bivol.
Now, Boxing Sauce, JBZ, JR Bell, from the Boxing Sauce on YouTube. Make sure you go follow him on YouTube. Tell me what you saw in this fight tonight, JBZ.
Hey, yo, where the hell you at? What I saw was a great technical bout between these two fighters, as, you know, many probably expected. The thing that I didn't expect early there was Bivol's aggressiveness as far as, like, throwing power shots towards Viterbiev there. And I thought that in the first few rounds, those were pretty much the difference in those rounds, was him, you know, either throwing those power shots or landing left or right hooks as far as, like, counters go. But the pressure of Viterbiev just kept going, and he kept wearing him down. Although, in the middle part of the fight, I saw with Bivol, he was moving over to his left, Beterbiev's right, and Beterbiev would not throw a right hand to the body. And I felt like at times those punches to the body would have been able to slow Bivol down so that when he did eventually get to him in the 10th and 11th rounds, Bivol would have been, you know, pretty much more gassed out than he was, because that 10th round, there was some real trouble there for Bivol. But I felt like he went with him getting through those two rounds, it made it really close at the end. 7 rounds to 5, either way, I wouldn't have minded. 8 rounds to 4, I don't see either way, you know. But it was a great fight, very close bout. Would like to see it again, but we'll see, you know, how that goes. And with Beterbiev getting the win. With Beterbiev getting the win, sorry, Canelo.
Matt,
we have another esteemed guest here on Brunch Boxing. Could you properly introduce him for us, please?
One of the great boxing minds, one of the smartest minds on YouTube. We have ourselves the Boxing Academic. Boxing Academic, what did you think?
Ezra, you on the train too of clowning me as well.
I'll accept it.
Man, I definitely thought it was a great tactical fight. I definitely loved how Bivol was more aggressive early. He made sure that he sort of put a stamp on the early rounds. I wouldn't say it was the beginning to the end, but that was a big round in the round where he did kind of go for it, and then he got caught and then sort of backed up, because that put something in the back of his mind toward the end of those rounds where he didn't really, like, he wanted to go for it, but he didn't really want to go for it. So I scored the fight. I had 5 rounds for Bivol. I had 5 rounds for Beterbiev, and then I had 2 tie rounds. And so one tie round was like a really, really tie round, and then the other one, I felt I was leaning toward Beterbiev, but I wouldn't have cared which way it went. So like someone said, 7-5 either way was respectable, but the 8-4, not so much. So I'm not mad that Beterbiev won, but yeah, the 8-4 is probably not good. Beterbiev, I mean, Bivol had to win one of those last rounds though. If he's fighting the style that he's fighting, he had to win one of those last rounds, but good fight nevertheless.
Yeah, that was the mean talk about the 8-4 or not. Yeah, it couldn't have been 8-4, you know. I didn't really see it as something where, like, either fighter, like, dominated, but won a majority of the rounds to where it could be 8 rounds in their favor. So that's kind of like how I broke that down.
I think it was 7 either way. I think 8, or like, you're kind of just trying to make as many rounds as you can to that person. Like, I think 7 is correct either way. 7-5,
yeah,
or a draw.
I got one last comment. Now, what the 8-4 could have been is that Bivol may not have been popular in the court of public opinion.
Are y'all
saying the judges heard my interview with Kate Bivol?
What did Kate Bivol score?
What you think?
We know what Kate Bivol scored. What did she score? Ari, go ahead.
Beterbiev, let's go.
Hey, what's up, guys? No, I thought it was a very good fight. I thought that Bivol clearly won 7 rounds. I had a 7-5 for Bivol. Obviously, Beterbiev came on strong those last, you know, the last 3 rounds. But I thought Bivol clearly won, in my opinion. Beterbiev has that what's that called? That Serbian warlord, you know, you can't take the fight from him. You might end up...
But I need to hear from J-Ro. J-Ro, we haven't heard from you yet. You were very excited about the action you were...
He broke up for me. I don't know what you said, but I will say this. I think we saw why these two guys were pound for pound fighters, why they were easily the top two guys in the division. Tim Bradley said it didn't live up to the hype. To me, the hype was this is an evenly matchup top fight, where I was for months, I was going back and forth who was going to win this fight. And I think that's what we saw. We saw two guys who are evenly matched. I'm okay with the so it was a 7-5 either way for me. I kind of scored it a draw. 8-4 seemed interesting. I will say this that I never seen before. In the last two rounds that I think Poddubiev needed to win this fight, Turkey was damn near in the, and I never seen a promoter or a whoever you know makes the fights be so close to the ring. Like he stood up and he his hands were on the apron. I found that interesting. But outside of that, it was a great fight. I don't know if it was fight of the year. I don't think it was fight of the year. Great fight. 8-4 seems kind of weird, but outside of that, I got no complaints.
You know, when they put just the best versus the best, and we've seen this continuously now, he always kind of delivers. Like boxing at the highest level, if you just keep putting the best versus the best, it just always delivers. I thought this was great. I don't know how you could say like Bradley could say didn't live up to the hype. Because yeah. I mean, this was going to be a tactical. I thought this was going to be a tactical fight. I always thought this was going to be pretty tactical. Those are not the thing is. Berdyaev has this like thing where it's like, oh, he's just going to go and break you, and he's going to bully. And it's like, hey, he's a tactical guy too. He just happens to knock everybody out. This was a great fight. This was good tactics, good strategy in the fight.
Because in the high point, he was fighting really the most technically sound, tactically minded, you know, defensive fighter that he's ever fought too. So it's going to be a different type of situation also.
Corrales Castillo, you know, Barrera Morales, Vaz, you don't know what you're watching with these two guys. Because that was never the hype for me, that this was going to be, oh my God, fight of the year, fight of the century. It was just, yo, this is going to be really high level.
And an interesting styles clash. And that's basically what it was. You know, I mean, it was really
hard. Hold on. Let me ask you a question. You know, I'm a big picture guy. Which fight do you think was better, this fight or Fury versus Usyk?
I think Fury versus Usyk has more
hands down
rewatchability. Like you can rewatch Fury Usyk more.
Hands down.
I think they're close. I really enjoyed this fight.
I think Fury Usyk's pretty clear. I think Fury Usyk
cruises. Because it has the drama.
With Bevel and Poddubiev, like the fight of the fight never quite. Like fully broke out. Like there was instances to where it's like, oh, okay, like you know, we really getting some shit here, but it lacked that overall explosiveness,
right? Like where it was consistent. It lacked like the drama that you had with Fury Usyk, because at least with that one, you had a knockdown scored and came from Usyk, which was like, oh shit, Usyk got this, you know, scored that.
And the reason why it lacked the drama is because one guy won the absolute boxing fight, and then the other guy who's you know claim to fame was getting you out of there and breaking you down, he didn't land no really clean shots. He landed shots, but there was no real clean shot. And the one shot that he sort of landed clean was the one shot that hurt him.
There was a few shots he landed clean. I mean, like especially to the body. And Bivol's whole body language changed every time he landed.
I think Bivol had the more eye-catching shots. I think he had the cleaner work.
I agree. But
I thought his work was easier to see than you know.
Yeah, it was.
Maybe to us, but you got to remember the judges on three sides of the ring looking up.
I won't be mad about the decision, because if you got like you said three different sides and you have Benjamin pushing him against the ropes and he's just working, it's hard to think.
Even if the shot from Poddubiev didn't land the clean, it didn't land very clean, he was still pushing him back. Like it was still bothering people.
He was
losing ground every time. If you lose ground, you're gonna lose a round.
Well, I want to know your guys' opinion on this.
There was Poddubiev would land, like, because a lot of people they'll say like, oh, jabs versus power punches. Fucking Poddubiev landed two different jabs that rocked fucking Bivol on two separate occasions. Two different jabs with like Bivol like stuttered back ever after he fucking landed them.
Now, when you guys are scoring the fight, and Poddubiev lands, he lands a big shot, but it's on the guard. We know it's blocked, but it does push Bivol back. Are you giving him any points for that? Or are you saying that's a block shot? Because I'm kind of curious what people's mind frame is on that.
To me, that's a block shot.
Wait, say it again?
So he lands like Bierbin would land a big shot.
Why are we giving credit for a punch that doesn't land? It depends
on if it lands or not. Sometimes a shot will be partially blocked, but it'll still land. So if you're partially landing a shot and the other guy doesn't land a goddamn thing, well, you landed a shot and he did it.
Because I think Bobo was using his guard was working pretty well in this fight. I thought his guard was working pretty damn well.
Guess what? I think Bichobiev's was too. Because there was a mark on his face at the end of that fight.
I'm not saying it wasn't, but
a lot of this clean work, because a lot of people, they love scoring shots that land on fucking gloves. And if the guy that is getting the gloves landed on happens to be going forward, all of a sudden, oh, he's getting hit with a bunch of shots.
Now, if you go highlight for highlight, right, just on punches, Bavol landed the cleaner work. For sure.
By far.
I got it.
I mean, if you're talking shot for shot, maybe. But I mean, if you're talking about like you're saying highlights, you can find put together highlights of Bichobiev landing shit that was just as clean as Bivol's and obviously did more damage because Bivol would have an immediate reaction to it.
I think definitely.
But who's in Ari? Hey. And the thing with that was like it wasn't even just the shots that landed clean on Bivol. It was the ones that landed on his gloves that pretty much got the welt on his eye, and he pretty much said that. So. And everything that Bichobiev was throwing was like poof, poof, and just pretty much hurt him.
The Fury Usyk fight, I clapped. After this one, I snapped like good poetry. I was like, this is good shit right here. I was snapping.
I feel like we just watched one of the worst judging of the year.
Joe Boz, what did you see tonight, man? What do you guys say about this fight?
Yeah, I agree with Nino. They messed it up at the end with the judging. The 116-112 is just like, that's like a domination kind of thing. I didn't have anybody at the 8 rounds, at Bivol 7 rounds to 5. The only thing I can see with the judges is, you know, Bivol had his high guard up, so I guess they thought some of them were going through. I think Bivol allowed the flurries to go on a little too long. So if you got someone swinging on you for 15 seconds and not really doing nothing, I can maybe see the judges saying, all right, this is offense. But like Ezra said, the cleaner, if more effective punches were Bivol. Like, clearly, he even controlled the pace with all that pressure. So I gave it to Bivol 7-5. I didn't like that 116-112 at all.
Hold on. Let's get to ATH real quick. You can come back around. ATH, what's going on, man?
I don't know. Maybe people are watching a different fight. I thought Beterbiev dominated.
Is he not talking or I just can't hear him?
He's talking. He's talking.
You can't hear
him. You got to go.
You got to go because I can't end the space. So you got to go. All right. So here's the thing, right? I personally thought that the judging was perfect. I could have saw an 8-4 for Beterbiev. So, like, to me, there were a lot of close rounds that could have went either way. Just because it's 8-4 doesn't mean the fight wasn't close. Because if you have 8 close rounds and you shade it to one guy, then you're going to get that score. I don't even understand why people are complaining about the scorecards.
Hold on. 8-4 isn't wide at all. 8-4, that's 2 rounds away from a draw. That's not a...
I was going to make that same point, King P. It's actually a close fight. It's a 2-round fight.
I got a question
fight for
Matt. So you saying you shaded points for Beterbiev? Is that what I heard you say?
Yeah. I thought Beterbiev won.
So he started off with 2 points in the hole. That's what you're telling me.
Wait. How? I don't understand what you mean by that.
I didn't mean anything.
Listen, I thought that he lost, and the judging was more than fair. It was a good first fight. It wasn't a great fight. Let's be honest. It wasn't a great fight.
Oh, man.
I think it was great.
It was nice.
I thought it was great, too.
Very good. I'd say split the difference. I'd say it's a very good fight. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like this fight that I really want to go back and watch like 30 times or whatever. Like, maybe I'll watch it again and that'll be it. You know what I mean? I'll close the book on it. But
yeah, I don't think this fight was Fury Usyk. But it was a very good fight, nice tactical fight. I thought it was high level. But I got to be honest with you. I know the popular opinion, because the fight was close, is that people are going to say that these were the best two light heavyweights in the world. I'm not too sure about that. I'm really not.
Oh, okay. Oh, good.
So who are you saying better?
Who are we thinking?
Here's the thing. there's a difference between greatest and so far as who has proven what. So, like, as far as who has proven what so far, yeah, these are the two best. But then there's what we don't know. And we don't know who might be on the horizon that might be able to beat either or both of these guys. So go ahead, Matt, with that.
So we're talking Benavidez. I mean, that's correct. We're talking Benavidez. Now, Benavidez...
I think he's talking Morrell. By the way, I think he's talking Morrell.
Matt, are you talking Morrell? I don't think you're talking Morrell.
No. I'm talking Benavidez. Bandana Rojo.
Yes. So Benavidez is the guy that, yes, I think that could be the guy that contends with him. I need to see the performance.
Don't know
yet. Yeah, the performance I saw last doesn't tell me that. But let's see what he does with Morrell. I think that's the perfect, excellent fight for him to be like, I'm going to put my flag in the ground here. So that's what I need to see. The last performance, I can't say he's at these guys' level at this weight. I can't say that yet.
Yeah. But before I get to that, make sure y'all hit the Cash App. Cash App is on the big boards. You know, help me get some equipment. Y'all all hit the Cash App. It's on the big board. All right. But anyway, so I want to get back to this discussion about the best light heavyweight. Do you guys feel like the question was decided tonight?
I think we saw the top two rated light heavyweights fighting today, but I don't know that they were the two best.
I mean, no. I mean, I still think it's a battle between these two. No. I still think it's up for the flow. I think I need a rematch. I think I need a rematch between these two.
I think a rematch would be fantastic. Yeah, we
need a rematch. Ain't no need for no rematch, man. We know who won that shit.
I mean, we would have been...
J-Bro, was he down 2 points on your scorecard, too?
No. No, I would like a rematch, though. I personally would like a rematch.
Me as well.
Okay, yeah. You guys hear me now?
Yeah, they should. They should. You guys they should hear me now?
Yeah.
You know, okay. Especially because we waited, fucking 7 years for this. So, again, yeah, go do that shit again.
That's number one. And number two, since it's Beterbiev that won and not before, you ain't going to hear Canelo making any phone calls. So, yeah, we can get a rematch.
Yeah.
Canelo was watching with one eye open.
I think I was happy with the judge's decision. I know some people might get angry at me, but I think personally, I think more boxing have to be judged in this way. Like, in my opinion, I feel like Bivol was on the ropes a lot of rounds. He was on his guard too long, and Beterbiev. I know some people don't like counting. If you're hitting someone in the guard, you count that as a block. And I know CompuBox counts that as a block. But if you're hitting a guy with 20 punches, the guy's not engaging, and he's literally backing up to the round, you got to start counting these punches. So I think even the judges, when there's certain rounds that are indecisive, it's an undisputed fight, they're going to give it to the aggressor. So I'm not mad about Beterbiev winning.
I don't agree. If you know that
why we got to give a guy points for not landing a shot?
The whole thing is it's not supposed to be scored. Like punches that aren't landing are supposed to be scored. But the thing is, like, if it's partially blocked and it's partially landed, then yeah, you can score that.
Now I also have a problem.
It's not just about if it's blocked. It's about the effect of what happens.
Exactly.
Because that's what happened here in this fight. And you know, I point out to, like, I say what, Canelo versus Callum Smith, right? Like, there were a lot of punches that Canelo threw that Callum Smith
on the arm and
everything. But
here's the thing, though.
And the same thing here upstairs with Bivol, like, it affected his face.
Yeah, but the thing with the Callum Smith is that thing was coming back. So he sneaks in one or two and then blocks.
Well, in certain instances in this fight, there was nothing coming back.
No, I think it was clean shots coming back.
All right, listen. I understand we're all excited, but we can't talk over each other. Like, we don't have to go to hands. If you hear somebody talking, just let them get their shit off, please. Thank you.
Hey, yo.
And let's not purposely misinterpret what people are saying, too.
All right.
And for the record,
stuff wasn't coming back in the moment when he was punching. Yeah. It was a lot of trading, like your turn, my turn type stuff. When Bivol was on offense, nothing was coming back. And when Beterbiev was going on offense and pushing Bivol back, Bivol wasn't throwing anything back. That's not really throwing something back when he's throwing something back. Your turn, my turn does not count as throwing something back.
But when it was Bivol's turn, he landed a clean shot.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that say, like, the clean work should win.
Sometimes, yes, sometimes not.
Bivol should have won. I think if you're a clean work guy, Bivol should have won. Now, if you're just saying like, oh, but here's another thing though. The guy's saying we should score fights like this, and he means the aggressor should win in these type of fights. I don't agree with that either, though.
Yeah, like, no. That's just what I'm saying. That's not even in the rules, so nobody's going to judge that way officially.
It's not that. It's like effective aggression. So that's why I bring up that example. Like, you could be aggressive and you could throw the punch and it doesn't necessarily land, but it will still have your opponent have a reaction to it. So,
but Beezy, though, we talking about Better BF, my nigga. Like, how many niggas just gonna take punches and not take a step back from this nigga? Like,
But that's my problem. My problem is that people just because
he's strong as shit.
But that's my problem. Just because now Bevel has survived Better BF, he looked a little bit different than other boxers. Now they're giving him a bonus. Like, that's not indicative.
No, what? Bevel looked
great. It's not surviving. I mean, he did a great job counterpunching. And like I said earlier, he had the cleaner shots. And I think he had...
That fourth round was definitely a survival round.
For the first half,
he tried to get into the firefight and he got clipped. And he was like, all right, let me get back on my bots and shit.
I knew Bevel was ineffective.
The other half, he was effective at throwing shots.
Listen, for the first half of the fight, you know, Better BF was not comfortable. I thought Bevel was outboxing him.
I knew that Bevel was in trouble when in the second round he hit Better BF with a right hand flush and Better BF just ate that shit. And I think that was kind of like the story of the fight, because the issue was, I agree, he had the cleaner work, but he couldn't really hurt Better BF. He couldn't hurt him.
When we say hurt,
we know what hurt means. Hurt is hurt. He couldn't do that to him.
But I thought there was one moment where
seventh round.
Ball did get him. Yeah, it was
seventh round. He got him, and then he tried to jump on him.
He tried to jump on him,
and then he almost got AJ.
Yeah, that was the thing I think that was the most critical moment of the fight for him. If he's more controlled than that and doesn't allow himself to get hit in that round, I think that's a real turning point. He got a little greedy there.
Yeah.
Until
he got caught in return.
The one thing about Bevel's offense is when he's offensive, he does leave openings. Like, because he has that kind of like an amateur style a little bit, like where he really commits to offense. And the way he was punching, he's not really blocking the shots. So you could punch him in between. And that's what happened in that.
I would say that his defense was superb, to be quite frank. Because
even when he hit by anything clean, exactly, in the face.
Because it was like, Better BF was hitting pads all night, to be quite frank. He was hitting pads.
They both were. I saw instances, and my guy RJ posted in our group chat where shots that you thought Bevel landed was landed on arms and elbows.
He landed more clearly. More often than Better BF. That's all I'm saying.
But once again, this is scored round by round. Hold on.
Yeah, you got it. How did you guys
score the seventh round?
I gave it to Better BF, but I started the swing round.
Yeah, because one of the judges gave the seventh round to Bevel.
Yeah, because he was
had it a draw. So to me, it should have been unanimous decision.
Yeah, because Bevel controlled a lot of the majority of that round. But Beardsbib, when he heard him, I thought he heard him. It was clear that he heard him, and he really kind of put it on. He kind of went for the finish in that round. So I have no problem getting that round to Beardsbib. That's how I did it.
The decision was correct, because there were rounds where Bevel was clearly taking him off. Like, there were rounds where, if you guys noticed, there were rounds where Bevel would kind of stand his ground, and there were rounds where he would start that lateral movement, flurry shit.
Taking him off or being tired from the overall piece of the fight?
I couldn't tell if it was him being tired or if him just being strategic. And then towards the end, it was very obvious that I'm just trying to survive this shit. And that's why in the end, I'm like, okay, yeah, I guess I know why Better BF got the decision.
Do you guys think that Bevel should have clinched more? Because he definitely did. He probably clinched like twice the whole fight.
There was those spots where he should have clinched more, for sure. Okay.
I think he was trying it a little bit, but you know, like, Better BF was kind of hard to clinch.
Yeah.
Kind of hard to clinch, one, and then, two, the strength of Better BF at times. He was like, nah, you ain't going to.
He really should have took him over. he should have took him over the ropes like Whitaker at some points in that fight. I thought, you know, you got to get to the full grip and just toss him over that rope and, you know, and see what happens.
I think when you deal with Neanderthals who have thick skulls, you got to just go for the body. I think he could have just
committed to the body. And that's what I was thinking, too.
Because ain't no way you're knocking him out. You're not going to knock him out.
Yeah, I mean, he landed a couple on Betty B's body, but it didn't really, you know, kept coming.
It didn't really, yeah.
You know, the rounds that you said that Bavol took off, I don't think, some were energy, but some were, I think he felt bit of his energy, and he's like, I'm not going to get an exchange with this guy. He's cranking it up this round, and I'm not going to exchange with him at this point, so I'm going to ride this out.
I thought he was letting him let off steam. That's what I thought he was doing.
I don't think he did that until round five and six.
There were a couple instances where I think that's true, but I think he realized that, like, hey, it's not stopping. I better throw something back.
Can I ask one question? Have we ever seen Better Beef in the ropes in this entire fight? Have we ever seen Better Beef at all?
Yeah, a couple of times.
Oh, and he got bullied a little bit too. In some points, he got, in my opinion,
in the
bullied.
Seventh round where it turned around for him, he was against the ropes. That's when he got turned around. That's when he caught the guy, and then he
I'm not biased.
Yeah, I think that's the most critical round of the fight. I think that's the most critical round of Bavol not showing patience at that point and thinking like I could get him out of there, and that cost him. I think that really cost him.
Yeah, I think the corner played a part too when they told Better Beef that yo, listen, they think he's hurt, so just keep the pressure on him. Like he really listened and didn't stop.
Yeah, I mean there was a lot of that to it too. Because I mean you got to think like the first few rounds, I think that Bivol was controlling him, you know, relatively clean. It wasn't until the middle rounds where Beterbiev started to get some work done, and then when Bivol hurt Beterbiev in that round seven, that's when he got so anxious because he's like, oh shit. Here's my chance to finish him because otherwise this guy's turning the tide on me. I need to get him out of here right now.
You need to get it.
And then you know that's where he got caught. And then when Beterbiev realized, hey, look, I got him hurt now. I need to step up.
Step up the pressure.
Part of it though was that he realized that he was much faster than him, and we know speed kills. At some points in time, he literally was just throwing shots and they was just landing. Like
at the end of that fight, I was like, man, this fight was worth every cent. And then I realized it was free and I paid for the undercard. And that was the most devastating.
Yes, they were landing. I think in terms of I gotta disagree with Matt.
Not always.
In terms of just the skill level that I saw from these two, I haven't seen two boxers operate at this high a level, be this evenly matched, except for the power, since Canelo Triple G. The difference is Canelo and Triple G have chins that are just granite.
This is a higher level.
I don't think any other light heavyweight can stand with these two. Has the power to hurt Beterbiev, but he doesn't have the boxing skill and ability to be able to go the way Bivol did. If Bivol just had Yard's power, then we'd be having a whole different conversation.
Beterbiev literally pulled off tonight what Canelo was trying to do and got fucking 11-1 a couple years ago.
But Beterbiev is stronger than Canelo. We can all see that.
Better
fight, this or Haney versus Lomachenko?
I think this is living in the moment.
And I love both those fights. He said,
living in the moment. Y'all niggas is crazy.
No. Holy Loma's a better fight. I mean,
great.
I don't know about being a higher level fighter.
Haney Loma is going to be more rewatchable because there was more high tension moments in the fight, but this is a higher skilled fight.
Yeah, that was a better fight.
Yeah, this is more of a chess match. Yeah, I agree.
Let me ask you about this question. Do you guys at all think that Bivol gassed towards the end of the fight because he gave away those last, I'd say, 2 to 3 rounds?
He definitely
I think he was hurt. He was tired, and he was trying to see if he could sit on a lead that he thought he might have.
He had the fight won. They cheated him.
No, they didn't.
Hey, Beezy, I know when you heard that 116 card, you knew Bivol won that shit.
Go ahead, keep it.
I was just going to say, I hate to say this because I'm a fan, but Bivol kind of winky-righted himself in those last couple of rounds. Like, he kind of gave it up. He kind of didn't do what he needed to do. All he needed to do was turn up the pressure a little bit more. Because Beterbiev was tired, too. Don't make no mistake. Beterbiev was kind of tired, too.
Yeah, he was.
The work rate was
the work rate slowed down a little bit too for Beterbiev, but Bivol was tired and just hurt and just couldn't take advantage of it. He just let it go.
But no judge. There's no way. Not one judge.
All he had to do was like just use his activity, just throw punches, just throw. That's the thing about it. Like he had
the round with a flurry or something like that.
Yeah, Jazz.
I think it was a.
There's no way that you should in this type of fight. Yeah, he's gonna shoot the sugar red letters even. There's no way that you have this type of fight, this even going into the 12th round, that you don't try to win one of the last two or three rounds.
Listen, I'll be honest with you. I think that Beterbiev just wanted it more. If you look at the CompuBox statistics, in the 10th, 11th, and 12th round, Beterbiev threw 70, 72, and 63 punches. Bivol threw 27, 34, and 38.
The point
is, in any close fight, you should have it in your mind. Hey, this is a fucking close fight. Let me put the nail in the fucking coffin. I'm not going to leave it up to the judges. I'm not trying to be emphatic about it.
I think Bivol uses his legs on the rhythm, right? Like most of his games on his leg. And as he won the later rounds, his legs weren't there. But Beterbiev.
But this is for the undisputed light heavyweight championship. You know that the fight is close to in the last three rounds. You got to be able to push and say that, hey, whatever I was doing in those first half of the fight, let's make an effort to do that here so I can win two or maybe those last three rounds so I know that, you know what, I'm going to be the clear winner here. And Bivol just didn't do it.
Yeah, he was too cool for school those last couple of rounds.
One of the things that I wrote down, like in round 9, round 10, when Beterbiev had success, when he got on the inside, I said, this is how Beterbiev will win the fight. And sure enough, he brought the fight to him. Like y'all said, Bivol couldn't use his legs as much as he did earlier. And then he just sort of won the fight on the inside, you know, his version of on the inside. And that's how he won.
In the last few rounds, they're more planted, both of them. And Bivol's used to fighting like that. That's his style, right? He's more planted. So in that style, he's going to have the advantage. So Bivol, who needs like the bounce in and out to kind of throw off the rhythm, he's going to lessen his offense because it's not working in the rhythm like he wants it. So then Bivol's going to have the advantage at that point. He's going to be throwing more shots.
Also, I was kind of disappointed that Beterbiev didn't start the body work earlier because it was there. It was right there for him the whole time.
Yes, exactly.
Right there the whole time. His body was there on a silver platter.
He hurt Bivol with a body shot. I want to say it was like round 4. And then he didn't go to the body again for like 2 more rounds.
I ain't going to lie. It was two things in reference to that. I mentioned it in the middle rounds when Bivol was moving to his left and particularly moving to Beterbiev's right, that Beterbiev could have thrown the right hook to the body to kind of like prevent Bivol from trying to go off to his right. That's one. And then later on in the fight, when he had Bivol in the ropes, he would just go upstairs with his punches. He wouldn't throw to the body. He wouldn't score to the body. And I was like, that right there, I was like, ooh, there was so many opportunities for him. And that's why I felt like it was mad close going into those last few rounds, man.
I ain't gonna lie. I agree with that guy that said about the comp. I'm looking at the compy box right now. That 10, 11, and 12, like 70 to 37, like he threw literally, if you really think about it, no, not even 30, 27. 27 punches Bivol threw in the 10th round to like 70, 72 that Arthur Beef threw in the 10. 67.
But how many were landed?
But that's what I'm saying. I don't think they were counting the punches that were hitting his like his pad on his head. They weren't counting it.
Because if
we're looking at that fight, like Bivol, a lot of times he was just staying in the guard. He didn't want to engage. So what do you want Beterbiev to do? He's still going to be active. So in the judges, he looks like the clear aggressor. I think Bivol should have at least get up to at least, I would say, 50 punches. Like you got to throw more than 27 punches in 10 rounds.
When you're gonna have that round.
When you're not a boxing guy, you gotta make it clear.
He could have been doing what JR said and working the body instead of continuing. Yeah, to hit
going
the
for the body, doing the shoulder roll.
I don't understand. Like
the shoulder roll makes it look like you're not landing punches. Gloves, for some
everybody should be a fucking world champion if that's the case. Like that don't take you.
No, but if you're staying your guard for more than 5-6 seconds and you're not moving, you're not engaging to the judges, it looks like the other guy's the aggressor. He was on the ropes.
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier. He was letting him go with 15-20 second flurries.
Yeah,
it was a little too much.
Come on. So and if it was 27 punches, that's disrespectful. Come on. 27-72, come on. You gotta throw more. At least 50. Like, come on. There's no excuse to that. You can't think you're going to win the round with 27 punches and the guy threw 72 punches. The next round, he throws 70 punches and he threw 34. The last round, he threw 37.
But I don't think nobody arguing Bivol won the championship rounds, though. Like, at least I'm not. I don't think he won them shits. I don't think nobody else did.
Someone mentioned earlier, why was Better BF not throwing the body shots earlier in the fight? And the reason why is because Bivol was throwing the heat. And so we relate power, yes, to force.
Not necessarily,
power,
though.
Power, let me finish. But power is also speed. And so earlier when Bivol was throwing his shots, he was throwing 2-3 combos and they were really fast. They were fast and they kept Better BF honest, which is why Better BF wasn't trying to throw them body shots because he knew Bivol would counter with these fast shots that could potentially hurt him while he still had a lot of like intensity on the punches. And it wasn't until after whatever round when he hurt him when he felt more comfortable to do that.
In the last round, they're pretty much even on punches landed.
But Ezra, though, well, boxing.
Yeah,
but Ezra. But you don't think every time Better BF hit him to the body, it ain't effective?
I think
you guys are both finished.
God damn, Ezra.
Oh, my God. It's so annoying when you do this shit. You should just make a point. Go ahead, make a point.
No, let Matt go, Ezra. You weren't making any point anywhere.
God damn it. I swear, Lord, if you come and kiss Matt's ass again on one of these faces, I swear, I'm gonna...
I ain't kissing shit, motherfucker. Like shut the fuck up and let Matt make his fucking point.
Yes, thank you.
You need this credit of set screens for you.
Yeah, what I'm saying is that punches landed are not stats that, first of all, could be trustworthy or stats that judges have available per round. So maybe the activity, maybe a judge think a shot or two got in there that wasn't counted on a CompuBox. So I think the activity is very important to scoring these rounds. And I just think that Better BF went for it more.
That's the look of it. You know, I mean, that's the look of it, but that's not technically, if you're watching a thing and a guy landing clean shots in the middle of the ring, and then the other guy's landing while you're against the ring and he's landing on your arms, then sure, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Like these punch stats, I just throw them out then. If we're going to not count some count, whatever, then we'll throw it out. But all I'm saying is, in the last round, Bivol was landing the cleaner work, in my opinion. He was landing the cleaner work.
Did you score the last round for Bivol?
I did score last round for Bivol.
Oh my God. That's
I did score last round for Bivol because he was landing the cleaner shots in the middle of the ring. That's why I did. Definitely did.
I scored the last round.
I scored the last round for Bivol, but I thought it could have been a swing. You could have given it to Beterbiev. I have no problem with that.
I had 10, 11, and 7 swing rounds.
I will say this. I posted the CompuBox in the Jumbotron, and I will say this. Every single round except for round one, Better Beef threw more punches than Bivol. Every round. By like more, some of them is double the punches. Some of them is more than 30%. Better be through more punches than Bivol in every.
Did he land?
Hold on.
Yeah, everybody throw more punches than Mayweather.
Didn't land more.
Have you ever looked at the CompuBox for Mayweather Maidana?
I'm just saying, this should look crazy, girl. 200 more punches.
It's really about what lands, clean, and what's effective. That's what we're
exactly.
Those three things, and those aren't every single shot doesn't necessarily meet all three of those criteria. It could be two of the three. It could be all three of the three. It could be one of the three.
Defense is also part of the scoring criteria.
But still secondary to clean, effective punching.
The shoulder roll should have been.
Do you guys consider defense when you score? Because I don't. I'm being honest with you. I don't consider it. But do you guys consider it when you score a fight?
No, defense is a secondary scoring criteria. No,
I'm saying, but do you ever get to a point where you're like, let me score the defense on this round?
Yeah, if it's definitely like scored. Shakur versus Edwin De Los Santos, then yeah, at that point, yeah, you can score fucking defense. When it's such a stalemate that you can't decide between who threw more fucking punches because they're both through five fucking punches in the goddamn round.
Defense also impacts effectiveness.
You know, if it was a top ranked card, they would have gave it to Bivol. We're not going to talk. We're not going to bring De Los Santos in this. But I, like I said, I think Bivol fought an amazing fight, and I do think that a rematch should happen. But you can't say that Beterbiev was not the more active fighter throughout. Than most of that's the rounds. Right. Every round.
I mean, active. He threw 200 more punches. More active, but that, like,
that don't mean he won the fight, though.
At the time, he was ineffectively active.
At
times, Bimbo was ineffectively active. So what's up? I agree. That was the other part I was going to say. Half the time, he was active. He was effective.
Floyd won the fight.
No, please. Floyd, no, guys, let's not do this. Because when Floyd, thing about Floyd domination is that it's very clear. It's very clear that he's hitting that's you. Not, it's very clear that you're missing.
And even in that, in some of those, and there was a couple of fights that he had where it wasn't all that clear. You know what I mean? Like, for the most part, yeah. Like if you look at all of Bibble's other fights, yeah, it's fucking clear. It's just as clear.
I think that is a good comparison to Madonna Mayweather because, it's different because it was Wilder, but the fact that Maidana was throwing so many shots and then landing like on gloves, landing on elbows, landing on the back of his head, you know, that sort of shaped everyone's view of the fight.
Sometimes he was landing clean too. If you win a couple rounds on Mayweather,
he will finish off clean. He will finish off very clean. So that way the judge's last impression is him hitting you wide and then you missing wide. That's something that you have to reckon.
I don't think Mayweather ever had a copy box.
For most of Bivol's fights, you literally just described the exact same thing.
I don't think Mayweather ever had a copy box where he was outlanded in every he threw the less amount of punches round.
Okay, copy box is I've literally just that. Somebody pressing a button. It's like I'm watching the fight and I'm pressing two buttons. Like that shit is not fucking accurate. So,
I don't even see you talking, but you keep bringing up the copy bots. Do you see that BetterBF threw 200 more punches, but he didn't land more from the copy bots? Like, do you?
That gotta count.
Like, I don't get it. Like, you keep bringing that shit up, but Bivol landed more punches while throwing 200
copy bots is not accurate. It's literally just a couple of people pushing buttons.
Watch a Manny Pacquiao fight. You'll lose your faith in CompuBox very quickly.
Listen to the son of the creator of CompuBox, Dan Canobio, get on here and say that Chuck Latito versus Ray Martinez was a great fight when it was a one-sided fucking beatdown.
I'm just trying to put the judge's perspective why they gave the win to Beterbiev. You know, I'm not trying to be biased here. I just think Beterbiev
but that's the incorrect perspective to have, because the correct perspective to have is the judges are looking at a different fight than all of us are. They don't have a TV in front of them. They're at three different sides of the ring looking at a fully different angle than anything that we're seeing. So whatever they're seeing in the fight is going to be juxtaposed way different than what we're seeing. I'm quoting what ATH is talking about with regard to the copy box. The judges don't even see copy box, first of all.
I think the judges were using Beterbiev's activity against Bivol. They should all lose their license
because activity isn't a scoring criteria. If they're scoring based on activity, they should all lose their license.
Everybody agreed to that.
So that's all I'm saying.
Like, if there's rounds that are not decisive, I think they will give it to the aggressor, someone that's more active.
You're supposed to score what you see. If you see a landed shot, you score that. If there's a shot that may have landed, but you didn't actually see it. You couldn't see it because the guy's back was to you. Like, you know, like you could be like, okay, well, that might have landed. I don't know. But you didn't see a reaction. So, you know, like you score it somewhat, but you know, it's like you can't score it overtly against something that landed clean and you saw it with your own eyes is the point.
You know, like, I'm just saying, like, I'm looking at the fight. There were certain rounds where I seen Beterbiev through amazing combinations, you know, two or three combinations, and they would just back up, go to the ropes, and stay in the shell, and let Beterbiev just punch on him. So, like, I'm, you know, I know better. Dude, would you consider that, like, better, you know, Bivol won that round? He had the more decisive punch, very, you know,
it,
short.
It depended on the round. It's round by round, so it depends on the round.
Let Beterbiev punch you on, you know, while you stay in your guard for 6 seconds. You know, so like I said, you don't want to use a compy box. We got to use something. We have to use something to judge. You know,
you got
to
use your eyes. You got to use your eyes and make a judgment. That's the whole reason for the word.
I'm on the judge's side. I'm using my judges. The judges agree with me. You know, I don't think
y'all are both saying the same thing.
Well, guess what? The judges agree with me too. What the fuck?
The judges don't agree with you. The judges don't agree with you.
Yeah, they do. They do, because guess what happened? A fucking draw. Yeah, better be like one of the judges did.
That's one out of three, homeboy. That's, I don't know what you want me to say.
I got a question. Could y'all see how pissed Bivol was, and he really wanted to say he won the fight at the end, but he just
Look at Bivol's face. Look at Beterbiev's face. Look at Bivol's face.
Hey, I just talked
for the people that are acting like Beterbiev didn't land shit clean, well, what's up? Like, the look at, you know, Bivol's face tells you a whole different story than that.
My point is, Beterbiev didn't get hit clean by a solid punch. Yes, he got hit with the glove hitting his face and leather ripping his face off.
Go back and watch the fight again, man. Like, he absolutely did.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did. Bivol got hit in the face, but he didn't get rocked. He didn't get split.
Beterbiev landed clean punches. Threw that jab and split that fucking guard. He ate that bit. Like, he got hit in his fucking face, my nigga. That wasn't on no glove or nothing. Like, that's right on your nose, my nigga. Like, it is what it is. The nigga was getting hit in the face, hitting the body, arms, glove, all that shit.
I'm saying, like, the shots that we saw Bivol land, which were less powerful, but a clean right hand where he swung, and he swung through Beterbiev's face. I'm saying Beterbiev didn't land any shot like that he normally lands on everybody else, where he lands a clean shot where he punches through a person. Yes, he landed jabs. Yes, he landed other shots, but they weren't a clean shot like he got hit with.
So let me ask y'all this. After y'all rewatch the fight, do y'all think y'all gonna change your mind? Whoever you got winning now, do you think you're gonna change your mind after you rewatch it?
I don't think it's gonna change, but I got a bigger question. What do you think Bivol could even do to win the next one?
I think Bivol should have stayed with his game plan condition early on. I think if he stayed with his game plan and been more aggressive instead of just backing up to the ropes, going lateral, I think he would have actually won the fight. Even he didn't even have to win that much rounds. I think if he won at least two out of three of the championship rounds, I think they would have gave it to Bivol. But I think the last 10, 11, 12, I think it was very abysmal. You know, the last 10, 11, and 12, I don't think he was as engaging enough. So, like, you just...
I think he thought Beterbiev was looking for the knockout. He's like, yo, I'd rather keep my hands up than throw punches.
Yeah.
My nigga, so that's what Beterbiev needed to win the fight, because they cheated this nigga, man. Oh, like, come on, cuz. That was a clear win for my nigga, man.
I got a take that reminds me of the Fury fight. Bivol did a Fury where he let off the gas and essentially, you know, got damn, I don't know how you call it, but essentially he let off the gas and Beterbiev kept coming. But that's what happened to Fury.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's not letting off the gas like I'm doing it. It's like the guy's taking it from. Like, the guy is upping the pace, and you're getting tired, and then the guy's doing it. So it's not like, oh shit, I'm just gonna ride this out.
They act like Beterbiev not no fucking killer. They just like, fuck it, just go in there and just fight this nigga. Don't be on your defense. Just let your hands go. Fuck it.
Bivol was doing a whole lot of moving. I was worried for his pace. Like five rounds in, I was like, how is he going to keep this pace?
Yeah, because some of those punches might have hurt.
And he did it.
And you know, the first three rounds, the pace was perfect for Bivol. Berbiev was just kind of stuck looking at him. I mean, it was like, when Berbiev said, oh, you know what, I got to change this up. I got to put the aggressor up. I got to get him moving, or he's going to ride out like this. Like, he's going to have too much energy the second half of this fight. So he started upping the pace without even really seeing openings. He was just like, I'm just going to start getting him working. And that's what he did. And Bivol started feeling it. You know, Bivol felt like, when this dude's coming on, I'm not taking any chances with him. You know what I mean? So it tired him out. It was starting, Berbiev was very smart and realize, like, this ain't the kind of pace that I'm going to want in this fight.
Ezra, you are completely right, but the difference between earlier, when Bivol was doing that movement and everything else, he was also throwing jabs. He was keeping him on his, throwing the jab, boom, right hand. And then
you think
later,
that's not going to get him tired?
Later, he got tired, and then he just kept his high guard up, and he wasn't throwing jabs to keep him on it.
Yeah, because at that point he was controlling he had his feet under him, right? The full energy. So he was riding out and reusing the energy of it. But at the time he slowed down, the jab's not going to be there as he feels it. And if you're more tired, you're not going to feel like it's not going to feel like the same. I'm going to catch him right here. You're not as confident as it. It's a little slower. My feet are a little slower, so you don't feel as sure.
And your hands are a little slower too. Your reactions are a little slower.
Yeah, so you're like, I'm a little more tentative. And then now, Berbiev is actually landing on him. So he's like, I'm not throwing, you know, I'm not going to throw everything like I was more confident before. Now it's like a little bit more even in the middle of the ring.
Yeah, I mean, good job, Berbiev. He did what he was supposed to do.
It was a great fight. I love that fight.
Yeah, man, yeah. Really, they got to do it again.
It was a good fight. I think, like, with this fight, though, I don't think Canelo will want to fight Berbiev, in my opinion. I think Canelo
wants to fight either of them. I don't think
Canelo's eyeballing fucking the winner of Chris Eubank versus Conor Benn. That's probably what he's doing right about now. So bringing him up, even in this discussion, is pointless.
Yeah, he's not going to fight Bivol, even if Bivol won that and ran away with it. Like, he's just not going to fight these guys. If you look at the Bivol fight, right, when he's fighting him, I mean, Bivol's just hands up, just like, all right, work. And he's not doing anything. He's not getting any shots in, and it's not going to have any effect on him. Like, dude, that was easy work for Bivol. Like, Canelo knows what happened in that ring. He's not dumb. He's a smart fighter, too. He knows, like, nah, that ain't for me.
Can we talk about Professor X now?
Whitaker? Man, I'm saying something. That was one of the smartest ring IQ moves I've seen in a long time. I got to be honest with you. The guy knew he was going to go south for him.
Y'all felt he was going to lose?
He was going south for him, and he knew it. And he said, let me take this guy over the ropes, and I'll get the hell out of here.
So what are we going to do in the rematch? Who y'all going
to
favor?
And he will never see that guy again, and he will go a different route with another camp.
Yeah, they're not going to rematch him.
I mean, I think saying that he pulled Massey over the ropes is a little crazy, considering he was the one being pushed back into.
Yeah, I think he was pushed over the ropes. I don't think he pulled him over. Really? I do think he saw that as an opportunity to end the fight.
Look, you perfectly
encapsulated that.
Let me tell you right now. If you're gonna go for that slam, right, you're gonna go chin up. And you're going to go all with the motion of it. He did chin up. It wasn't like, oh, I'm trying to fight against this. It was like, chin up, we're going to take this with us. Now, I'm not saying it, oh, he knew that was going to end the fight, but I do think he saw...
There was nothing... In the position that they were in, there wasn't a whole hell of a lot he could do. Massey had the low ground on him. He had the leverage on him. So him pushing up under his chin, there wasn't anything that he could do about that. It was up to Massey to stop fucking pushing him.
I'm trying to find the video over here right here so I can take a look at it again.
It's like, have you ever played football? Whoever has the low ground is going to win in a battle that's head up.
Yes,
I agree. And Massey had the low ground.
See here. I just want to see it one more time. That's all I'm asking. I just want to see it one more time.
Yeah, if I'm gonna blame anything, I'm not gonna blame either of the fighters. I'm gonna blame whoever set up the ring because the tension on those ropes was terrible.
That's also true. Because I was like, that was a little bit loose the way they just fell over like that. That was like, nah, those ropes are kind of... But I was looking for, like, damage. I was looking for, like, oh, he landed on his knee or landed on his foot. I couldn't see shit. And then he started acting like fucking, I don't know.
The only thing I could think is because he landed on, like, the corner or the edge of the apron. And so it could have been, like, a nerve thing.
Yeah, I would say that's the hardest part of the ring, as a matter of fact, too. Like, for anybody that follows pro wrestling, they know how hard that shit is.
No, but they landed soft as hell. They landed soft. That was like a slow motion.
It doesn't matter. You're landing on unpadded wood is what you're landing on. I mean, we all boys here, man. We've been landed on unpadded. We didn't fuck about. But anyway, I get it. It's possible. I'm not dismissing it. I'm just saying. I think he saw it as a way out. That's all I'm saying.
I think he saw it as a way out too. Whether he did or not. Yeah. Okay. They say the other guy pushed him over, right?
I think so. Said,
let me get the hell out of here.
I mean, it's possible that he was legitimately hurt, you know, or at least he was hurt enough to feel like, oh, fuck that. Like, this is a tough fight to begin with. I'm not going to continue this shit while being, you know, a little slightly damaged, even if it wasn't like all actually injured or whatever.
Yeah, I do think that he used it as a way out, but I don't think he caused it.
Do y'all think it was a draw, though? Do y'all think it was a draw?
I didn't watch the earlier round, so I don't know. Was there a 10-10 round in there that you saw? Like, oh, that's a 10-10 round for sure.
Nah, I think homeboy edged it. He edged it, if not by at least a round and a half, maybe two rounds. I would say he edged it. Ben Davidson was on his way to losing, in my opinion. I don't know what the judges scored it. Well, I mean, I know what the judges scored it now, but in my opinion, as I was watching the fight, I thought Ben Davidson was losing. Ben Whitaker was losing the fight.
What'd you guys think of the Wardley Frazier fight?
Man, destruction by fucking Fabio, dude.
I ended in like two minutes, didn't he?
He put Frazier Clark on default mode, man.
He broke his whole face. I mean, he changed his face.
His whole body was being supported by his elbow on the rope.
Yeah, that was brutal. Goodness gracious, that was brutal. Yeah, when he hit him, too, yeah, like you see his face changing, you're like, oh my God.
Well, here's the thing, because like he had hurt him with the first shot, then he hit him with a second shot that was completely unguarded, and then that final one, that's the one that ultimately like caused the big dent in the side of his head. You know, that one was like he was already pretty much out from the run right before it. You know, that one just like added to the damage.
Yeah, the shot that he landed when Clark was turning around off the ropes, that one had him completely like basically out on his feet, and then that last shot just turned the lights off.
Was he okay when he walked out the ring? Because I didn't see him when he walked out.
They didn't show it. I don't think they showed it.
Yeah, they didn't show it on camera anyway. So, yeah, hopefully he's all good getting checked out at the ER or whatever.
What do you do with Wardley next?
I think Derek Chisora, man. Like, I think that's like a proper good kind of like next step up for him. You know, builds his profile a little bit. You know, he's the guy that's been around. Chisora, I'm talking about. And I think it's a pretty tough fight for him too. You know, it's at the very least a step up, I think, in the level of competition. So we'll see how he does there, and then he might be able to fight, you know, at the higher level, like world level, against the likes of a Dubois or, you know, like Fury or Usyk or whoever, you know, or Bacoli, whoever. So I mean, but I would say, you know, you want a slight step up from this before you go after kind of one of the big fish, one of the big dogs.
Dubois don't deserve nothing less than a title shot.
Yeah, if you're Dubois, to me, if you're Dubois, you're only fighting Joshua rematch, or you're waiting for you know the Fury Usyk thing to play out.
Facts. Yeah.
Yeah. No. What I was saying was that like when it all shakes out, after a Chisora, you know, but Dubois has the IBF title, FYI.
Yeah, true. Yeah, you're right. He does. I think Wardley, yeah, he can probably fight Chisora or Tony Yoka or, you know, Michael Hunter or even Jarrell Miller. I think these are good fights for him. They're tough fights. I think the heavyweight division is stacked. There is no, like, witness protection program. Even the lower classes, everything's dangerous, you know. So I think Wardley, even though I'm happy he beat Clark, but there's still a long way to go. But I'm definitely a fan. I'm excited about the heavyweight division.
So you think Jarrell Miller, a person who don't throw his hands against a person in Wardley who does throw his hands, you think that's going to be a good fight?
I think Jarrell Miller is still a tough fighter. I do think...
Jarrell Miller was throwing his hands last fight.
Yeah, I mean, Jarrell Miller was throwing his hands.
Yeah. I think Jarrell Miller is not... He's not an easy...
Throwing his hands against who? Who he threw his hands against?
Andy Ruiz.
Andy Ruiz, who was out of shape, who hadn't fought in like 2 years. That's who he was throwing his hands against?
I mean, he was throwing them.
You can't, come on. It's the heavyweight division, man. It's not
you can
like
say that. Andy Ruiz went throwing them back at him. I'm saying if you got a fighter who's throwing shots at him, Jarrell Miller going to respond differently. Yeah,
we'll find down the ring, right? Like, I'll go ahead.
Yeah. No, you said it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So I was kind of like, you're fine in the ring. He's coming off a win. I mean, he's coming off a performance. He should have got a win, in my opinion. I'm all right with that fight. I mean, I don't think Worley's above it. That's for sure. I don't think Worley's above it.
It's not like I'm saying he should fight Jared Anderson. I'm saying like Jarrell Miller. I think Jarrell Miller is a good opponent for him, you know, just to see where he's at, you know?
I agree. I want to see it too. I would want to see it too.
Yeah. So before he gets to that championship level or like A class, I want to say championship level, even before I'll say A class, like, you know, the Zhangs and the Bacolis, before you get to the championship level is like the Usyks, the, you know, the real.
Yeah, I don't think he necessarily, quote unquote, deserves that yet. And or, you know, I don't think he's quite ready for that. Like, I think he probably could still use a little bit of seasoning. It sounds funny because of his age and all that shit, but you got to think he doesn't have a tremendous amount of experience. So, like, yeah, I think somebody like a Chisora, you know, makes sense, you know, just all the way around. You know, makes good money. He's a known commodity, you know, and you see where you go from there.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I think those D levels in the heavyweights is still very tough. Like the Chisoras, the
I wouldn't even call that D level. I'd call that really like like C plus B minus level for real. Like, I mean, it's really not all that far off.
Oh, you think Chisora's C plus or D? Yeah, I could say that. Yeah, I could see that that way. But that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah,
the heavyweight
division. I mean, hey, he gave Usyk one of his toughest fights for one, and secondarily, he just beat Joe Joyce. So
there's so much in the heavyweight. Even there's like the Parkers, the, you know, even the Hrgović. I think these are very tough fighters. You know, there's too much in the heavyweight division. He's not going to get a Dubois fight anytime soon. He's going to have to wait his turn. But yeah, we'll see.
I wouldn't necessarily say that outright, though, because the thing about it is I think Dubois is game. Dubois will fight whoever, you know, like Dubois, just the way that he fought Joyce probably before he should have, you know, like he'll fight whoever, you know, so, you know, I think he'll take him.
I think Joyce is still a B level. Joyce is even a B level.
That's still a solid one.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's so much in the heavyweight division is really stacked. Like, from A all the way to D, you've seen that with Jared Anderson. Like, I thought Jared Anderson was supposed to be like B level. And what Bacoli did to him, I lost money on that fight. I bet on that fight. So, you know, I don't really know the heavyweight division per se because there's so much outliers. There's a lot of guys that you might fight them and they might just knock you out. It's not like in the lower weight class, you know who's good and you know who's a cherry pick. The heavyweight division is literally Russian roulette. Even the championship level, you don't know. Bacoli could beat guys in the A level, you know. Parker could as well. So you've seen what Zhang did to Wilder. People don't even want to fight Zhang. So the heavyweight division is very tough, you know. So
well, I think in certain instances, it's one of those things where it's like if you make a mistake at the wrong moment, you could be winning the fight and boom, you're not anymore. You're not even in the fight anymore.
Exactly. So I'm very excited for him. I will say Turkey Al-Sheik, I usually give him a lot of flack, but he really makes fighters fight, you know, tough opponents. Like, there's no witness protection program with Turkey. Like, when you fight if a Turkey fight, you know, you're not gonna fight a guy that you're supposed to win. It's really a tough fight. So I've been liking these cards, man. These Turkey cards, even with in my opinion.
And if you do fight a guy you're supposed to win, he said on the next fight, you're going to give him his pound of flesh back.
I got to be honest. This was a great fight, and he does kind of force guys to fight. He does get guys in some tough fights. This card was unacceptable. As far as paying for an undercard, getting the main event free, the whole we're going to go 30 minutes early and still going at the same time, the whole this was supposed to be free, we're going to charge you $20. This was a disaster. I mean, PR-wise, this was an absolute disaster. Even with that fight. Like, this, it's unforgivable to me. I can't be like, oh, yeah, no, I trust them. No, I don't trust them anymore. 100%, I do not trust them. I don't know what the hell they're up to. So I can't say I can't say I trust their everything and it's all good. They're going to have to earn my respect back. They're going to have to earn my trust back.
I was a little disappointed, too, but yes.
They charged $20 for that card. And the main event was free. There's no logic to that that could be explained that says, yeah, that makes sense. That's good business. That's beyond explanation.
Believe in their own hype, maybe. I don't know.
I'm curious who made the call on that, whether it was like Matchroom, Turkey, or DAZN.
Wait, what'd you say, Huey? My bad. I didn't hear you.
I just said I'm curious on who made the call on that, whether it was like Matchroom and Turkey or DAZN themselves that were like said we're going to charge for this card.
I don't know how it even made a difference. I mean, how many people do you think really bought that card in the U.S.? Who bought the, like, honestly, like, Who bought that?
You?
Like, I'll be honest. Yeah, me. I did. But did anyone else?
Well, here's the thing. I think when Turkey was talking about, like, oh, all pay-per-views are going to be $20, what he didn't specify, what was in the fine print hidden there, was, hey, we're just going to make a bunch of shit pay-per-view that would have never been in the past.
Which has been the case since they done it, right? Because, like, you know, the Dubois Joshua would have been free for us every fight before, now $20. This undercard, which would have been free in any world, anytime, ever, it probably wouldn't have been on TV. This was $20 too.
Yeah, honestly, most of those fights we saw on the prelims that were pay-per-view would have been on YouTube.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There was nothing in there. Like, I'm saying, like, Wardley, Frazier, but that's never pay-per-view in the U.S. market. I don't know the U.K. market, but in the U.S. market, there's not a chance in hell, right? Like, the last fight, that was on Peacock. So, it wasn't be pay-per-view. It's just ridiculous. What's the next big fight we're waiting for?
Japanese WrestleMania.
Japanese WrestleMania, that is right. And I will be doing a live space for that tomorrow morning.
I know you guys don't want to talk about the Better Be Bivol fight anymore, but I just posted this. Like, do you guys, because, like, I'm looking at, I'm not, forget CompuBox. Well, this is CompuBox. They put everything together. It said Artur Bitterby threw 1,023 punches compared to Bivol's 582. Now, God, before you say anything, I just want to say, do you think that Artur Bitterby missed? He literally missed 50 punches, or is because 50% of his punches, they didn't count because they were landing on Bivol's guard, in my opinion. Because it's like, this is like more than double in total of Bivol's punches, like 1,000 compared to 500. Like, this is egregious.
I understand your argument, but I guess where I'm coming from is activity is not a scoring criteria, so it doesn't matter.
That's what I'm like. What, yeah. Like, let's say if he did throw it that well, 500 more punches. Say he only landed five more than Bill.
Just FYI. Also, those aren't CompuBox stats. Those are Jabber AI stats. That's a competitor to CompuBox. It uses a video feed to a computer in order to try to deduce whether a shot landed or not.
Which one's more trustworthy?
This. But except when you're talking about this high impact shit. There's no way to measure the level of impact.
Unless they put a sensor in the glove.
They don't.
Yeah, this Jabber AI is completely like a computerized AI algorithm that is counting punches thrown and landed based on the video.
Now, if they came out with the AI technology, they're like, we can literally see what shots land and what shots don't. Maybe we have to pay like put little strips on the arm. I don't know, something. And we could do it. Would you guys be okay with that being the judge of fights now?
Not judging fights, but I would be okay using that as like a metric that was part something we use to argue fights post.
All right.
But you can get the like the numerical totals from that, but you're not going to get anything that's actually like telling you what those punches did.
Right. Exactly. Like it could be like, oh, a shot that just knocked you down counted as one shot, right? It counted as the one of the shots that you landed, but it's, you know, you scored a knockdown with it, or you wobbled the guy very badly for the rest of the round with it. You get what I'm saying? Like that isn't being told, you know, in those numbers, you know, and nor is it also being told in those numbers how clean specifically the punch was. It could have been a cuffing shot. It could have been right on the knuckles. It could have, you know, it could have flung the guy's head back. You know, it could have been one that they rolled with, you know, like it's not accounting for all that either.
Right. And even if you put like a sensor that you can measure, like, oh, this punch had this much force on it. Yeah. But if this guy has that much better of a chin and it did nothing, how much of effect did it have?
And not only that, like if you were to do that, like you could literally like you could hit a guy in the back and like it'll count that with the sensor. Like, oh, like, yeah, you hit him in the back, or you could literally pound your gloves together and oh yeah, the sensor counted that.
Now that we see this fight and we think that, I think this is how they're going to be judging these fights continuously. How do you feel Shakur Stevenson, now that he's signed to Matchroom, that he's going to fight potentially in these cards? How do you feel, how he feels? I know he just posted like, boxing is so terrible because obviously he didn't like the call.
He didn't like the foreshadowing.
No, I mean, sure. He
doesn't fight Tal now.
Say that again, Ezra.
You didn't like the foreshadowing of it.
No CompuBox propaganda to save you. No referee to assist you and let you clinch to your heart's desire. Damn.
That's all I'm saying, because he is going to fight in these cards. It's going to be a turkey card. He ain't fighting top rank anymore. So, and he's going to fight a more tougher opponent. So we'll see. I don't know.
To a degree, though. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, he's probably going to be catered to at a certain level, to a certain extent. You know, I don't think it's going to be to the same degree.
Yeah, he might be signed with Matchroom, but he's still a turkey fighter. And I'm positive
they're going to get him judges that lean toward activity more than power shots.
Well, I don't know about that. Look.
Here's the thing. More often than not, you could read between the lines and figure out that the judges are going to favor whoever the A side is, regardless of whatever the situation may be with their style. If you're the A side, you're probably going to get favored in a close round.
I'm just saying, look at Matias. Matias signed to Matchroom. Liam Power beat him, and now Liam Power is fighting in Puerto Rico. And Eddie Hearn dropped Matias. I think Eddie Hearn's fair with his fighters. He puts them in the ringer. He don't care.
He's not working on the strict meritocracy just like any of these other fighters. If you're making money for him, he's gonna try to make shit happen for you.
Okay. As you say, you know. We'll see.
Yeah, but him going in with Cepeda, I mean, we're talking about work rate. Goodness gracious. Do you guys believe that he goes in directly with Cepeda when he comes back?
No.
No. I don't think that fight's happening. I don't think that fight's ever going to happen.
I don't think Cepeda want to do it, and I don't think Shakur would do it off of injury.
I don't think Shakur would do it, period. You know, he keeps throwing up all these smoke screens saying that, oh, Zepeda's ducking. You know, that's like the people that, you know, that childhood game or whatever about, like, oh, whoever blaming somebody for putting out a fart or whatever is the one that put it out.
Let me tell you, Zepeda keeps saying he's guilty. It's like you saying, hey, I did the murder, and yet Shakur is still getting the blame. Zepeda is telling you he's not trying to fight him right now, and Shakur is getting the blame here. This is crazy.
Zepeda don't want to fight nobody.
Zepeda's trying to fight Tank. That's why.
So he's not trying to fight Shakur. Okay, perfect. There we go. Case closed then.
Yeah, just like Shakur is trying to fight fucking Tank. Well, I mean, he should be trying to fight Tank, but, you know.
But he's trying to fight Zepeda, and Zepeda's saying
no. Even though that it's a more realistic option for him than anybody else, but, you know, choosing not to pull that trigger.
I think Zepeda is more than realistic, but Zepeda does want the fight, so it is what it is.
I think
the Zepeda fight. So it is what it is.
I think Turkey will pay for the Cepeda fight. I think he's gonna have to overpay. I'm not gonna lie. He's gonna have to overpay Cepeda for the Shakur fight, because obviously the Gervonta Davis fight is more money. But I think if he overpays, I think he can get the Cepeda fight done. You know, like with Shakur.
You know what I'm curious is, what's the TV rating for today for that Bavo fight?
Yeah, I don't think it was on the main feed.
It was on the plus, right?
So it's on. Yeah, so we'll never get that metric.
Yeah, we won't never get it. We will never see it. It's on the plus. Yeah,
that's not public information.
I thought they did those. All right.
I bet those numbers were good,
they have the information. They just don't release it to us.
Yeah, I'm curious if that did good numbers. Would you guys say it did good numbers or no? What do you think? It's just like middle of the pack.
I think it probably did, man. I mean, like, I think people were buzzing on it on Twitter. If that's any signal for it.
I'm gonna say it's gonna be difficult because it didn't really have a lead in, you know what I mean? On the plus, it's like, hey, just tune in at this time.
Yeah, that's true. It did have good placement though on the app. I will say that it was right underneath the football game, it was hidden on there.
Well, and you know, like anybody that's regularly on the ESPN app itself, too, like I had seen it for weeks going into the fight. You know what I mean? I've seen them like with on the upcoming tab or whatever, I've seen that shit on there for weeks, so. I think that they've been making sure that it's in the headspace of people that would be interested in the fight to start with, to understand that, yeah, it's coming on.
Go ahead, Lo.
Yeah, I was just going to say, they probably won't give it like specific numbers, but if it meets a certain metric in comparison to previous broadcasts, say it does like better or just as close to like in numbers, like highest rate, like they'll mention that, because they did that with Mayor versus Ryan. They mentioned that it was like the highest watched, most watched women's fight. You know, they didn't give us exact numbers, but if it's something like that.
That was on like terrestrial TV.
So you can see it on regular ESPN. You know, you can get those numbers from what's that rating thing called?
Nielsen.
Nielsen. Yeah, you get the Nielsen ratings. Exactly. So,
yeah.
Ezra.
Like, yo,
who did you have winning the fight?
I thought Bivol won, but I get why Beterbiev won.
I don't.
Now, what I found interesting, right, is that all three judges scored 10 rounds exactly the same. That's kind of rare when you see that.
Especially the last three, too.
Yeah, well, I think that's kind of odd to what you were saying, though, earlier, J-Ro, where you said you thought it was an easy fight to score. You know, I think it relatively was. Yeah, the rounds that you gave to either guy were relatively clear cut. There was maybe like two swings.
Right. Yeah, exactly right. And I think it was easier maybe in person than on TV.
Because of like the action that each judge
Lateral movement that was going on. With that lateral movement that was going on and where judges have a fixed position. See, as spectators, we have the luxury of multiple camera angles. When you're a judge and you're sitting there and you're looking up, because I'm in that position a lot, you don't see what other people see. And so if someone has their back to you, you can't count punches that are being landed on them or that they are throwing because you can't see it. You cannot judge what you cannot see. So it was really in their favor that there was so much lateral movement going on.
Yeah, I literally said the exact same thing earlier, though, with regard to the angles. You know, like we have angles that they don't got, and they got angles that we don't got.
Yeah, it was great. That was a really good, like, non-planned support to the conversation that happened earlier.
I mean, Beterbiev was always going to be preferred there because, like, Bivol is not going to be throwing as much as Beterbiev one. And two, like, you know, he's just moving so much. Like they see Beterbiev coming forward, you know, actually throwing punches. And Bivol is just doing circles around the ring. Of course they're going to prefer that, even if he's not being the most effective at times.
I mean, it's not necessarily the case either. Like, it's always going to depend on the circumstances specific to that round and or the moments within that round, you know, as to what exactly is happening.
Ezra asked, what could he do differently? Even when he tied, he still got to keep his jab going because that was the major difference in Beterbiev seeming like he just totally dominated the round versus the round being sort of close versus him winning.
I think Lord's point to starting the body work a little earlier would have been good too because he really didn't start consistently going to the body until like the second half of the fight. And if he had started that maybe a couple rounds earlier, Beterbiev might not have had the same sort of effectiveness later on.
Bivol's not really a body puncher though. That's not really his MO though. So I'm not surprised. Beterbiev could have started earlier too.
Lord, weren't you saying though the Beterbiev could have went to the body earlier? I thought that's
true. Yeah. Not Bivol. I think Vivi misheard Huey.
I had tweeted, I thought he was going to fuck around and make Bivol take a knee because when he was hitting him to the body, my nigga, he just, I don't know what the fuck.
Yeah, for a second, I thought that too. For a second, I thought, because there was a couple of times where Bivol kind of bent over like, oh shit, but you know, like he needed to get some space.
There were certain situations where Bivol, I already said about the guard thing where Beterbiev wasn't able to really knock him out because it's like Alas, like a Charlo situation where he, certain fights where he tried to just defend instead of engage, in my opinion. Do you feel like certain situations? Because I felt like there were certain situations where Beterbiev was going to be aggressive and then Bivol just started backing up to the ropes, going on the guard.
I don't think he started sitting on the ropes to shit really like the later rounds in the fight.
It really wasn't until like the last three where it's like he was really sitting in one spot.
He was trying to turn that nigga, get back to the middle.
Yeah, even when he wasn't on the ropes, he was still in the center of the ring using lateral movement, turning Beterbiev so he couldn't get his feet set.
Which was a smart thing to do because the thing is, if he
jumping back and countering too.
Yeah, because if you would have posted up on the ropes too long, especially earlier in the fight, but the way that Beterbiev throws, I mean, like shit, he'll just start hitting any and everything. And like that's how you get hurt and knocked out. If you just post it up on the ropes and he's just, you know, Like,
yeah, I thought he was gonna fuck around and get knocked out in the later round because how he was looking. I'm like, fuck, cuz his legs ain't moving like they would. My nigga, he gotta sit on these ropes and just.
Bitterbiff's so freaking like he's pretty good with getting angles, especially when you like shell up like that. Like, he would take the side of Bavol, and then Bavol would be like, oh, damn, I can't see really where the shots are coming. I'm just kind of turtled up right now. Like, I knew you couldn't do that game with him. I knew if he did that game, he was gonna make you pay for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the tricky thing for Bivol, like as far as like what he could improve in a rematch, for one, I think he should probably pace himself a little bit better. I think he blew a lot of energy early, really just trying to move too much. And then two, I think he was putting a little bit too much on his shots because I think he was trying to get Beterbiev's respect too much. You get what I'm saying? Like, I think ultimately he felt like he needed to hit Beterbiev with something to kind of halt the forward march, but it didn't matter. Like, Beterbiev was gonna be marching forward at his ass regardless of what he hit him with.
The few times he sat down on his punches and like he put his weight on that front foot, he every time he did that though, Beterbiev would come right back at him, and he had respect.
Exactly.
Like, as soon as that happened, he backed off because he knew.
Right. So is this a guaranteed rematch, or do we any of us think that Beterbiev is kind of just says, is there a chance he just brought it off the sunset off this one and says, you know?
I mean, it always depends on what other money options is available. No. You know what I mean? If Benavidez and Morel, if one like terrorizes the other one and smashes on him, and then all of a sudden that's available, I think there's probably a good chance Beterbiev fights that guy.
I think he might.
I think Turkey was pretty open with his plans. I think he's going to do Opataya versus Beterbiev.
Oh man, that's so yeah. So yeah, you know, and the thing is, I think you're right about that.
I'm not a fan of that. We got other business to handle right now. We need that rematch so Bivol could get this dub since they cheated him the first time.
So I got a comment to what y'all said earlier. Him being aggressive and throwing him hard shots, it was working up until he got too greedy in round seven. I think round seven was huge. I'm not saying anything about his pace because maybe, yeah, the pace was what contributed to the 10, 11, 12, but that plan was working very well for him up until he got greedy.
I mean, I'd say it was working up until about the fifth round when he started dropping rounds, when he started actually losing rounds instead of, you know, sweeping them.
I mean, even then, though, I think Beterbiev was kind of, you know, fighting the fight he wanted to fight, though. Like, even in terms of, like, you know, Bivol, like, moving as much as he would prefer, you know, tire himself out, moving the way Bivol or Beterbiev would want him to move. I think it was all, you know, calculated from Beterbiev.
Yeah, I mean, and here's the thing. I think they were both trying to kind of out-calculate each other, and sometimes Bivol did the better job of doing it, and sometimes Beterbiev did the better job of doing it. So I don't think that necessarily any one of these given strategies that we're even throwing out there is an end-all, be-all. It's always going to be changing depending on exactly what's in front of you moment to moment, round to round, you know? And that's the reason why, you know, it was and is a great fight, you know, is a great matchup because, you know, at the end of the day, it wasn't just, oh, it's either going to go this way or it's going to go that way. No, it went a couple of different ways in a couple of different rounds, you know, depending on the circumstances.
If he don't get clipped in round seven, we would have a totally different view until we didn't in the fight. We don't know what happened. Let me be quiet.
Maybe, but he got clipped.
Versus Opataya, did you guys give him a chance in that fight?
I'd favor Opataya in that fight. I think
I'm saying Beterbiev, you give him a chance because I think
because Beterbiev is freakishly strong, and the thing about Jai is a lot of his style is based off of being just more violent than you, and I think it's pretty hard to fucking out violent Beterbiev even if he's the one moving up in weight, because you know, especially even given that Beterbiev might actually be even better at 195, 200, or whatever he decides to come in at. He might be even better.
People forget, but Beterbiev, when he was in the amateur, he fought at 200 plus. And I think, honestly, at 175, I think he's actually too big for 175. You look at it, he's literally, his skin and bones are showing. I think him naturally going up to 200, he's going to look way better, in my opinion. I think he's actually too big for 175, in my opinion.
He definitely looks better. I don't think so, though. Like,
In amateurs, he fought 200 plus.
My
nigga, he 42 years old.
He fought at 200 flat, not 200 plus. 200 plus is super heavyweight. 200 flat is heavyweight.
That nigga gonna go up there for a retirement fight and be on out the way, kid.
Yeah, no, but I think Beterbiev versus Jai is a great fight, though. I mean, for what it's worth. You know, I just feel like that might not be as, the best option available. Let me just put it that way, for boxing fans in particular. But, you know.
It's just wild to me that 100% KO rate is gone now. It's wild.
Shit, his O should be gone. That's what's crazy.
Not everything lasts forever. So it's not that surprising.
I scored it for Bivol, but I mean, like I said, I understand scoring it for Better Beav. I don't agree with 8-4, but like that's not that wide of a scorecard as people want to make it seem. It's two rounds off of a draw, so like,
yeah, I mean, once again, that depending on what side of the ring that particular judge was on, like that's the fight that he saw. You know, it might have been a situation to where like there might have been a swing round that he gave to Beterbiev that, you know, that would have otherwise gone to Bivol, and boom, you got 7-5, and then people aren't complaining.
Why don't they just put judges in a back room or something and let these niggas watch the TV or something? Like, where they can't hear the crowd noise, they get the view we get. Like, what's wrong with that shit?
I kind of agree with that. I mean, I think they should watch what we're watching. I think because then you get a disconnect. You get people all pissed at them. You know what I mean? I think if they're watching what we're watching, it would be probably a little bit colder.
Because then you can't have an argument like,
the main problem with that is not every fight has 30 different angles.
Yeah, the camera angles. So yeah,
if you're talking about like there's right now there's probably a club show going on somewhere. Oh, that's a six rounder. That you don't have 40 different camera angles.
I think it would have to be for like championship fights or some shit.
Yeah, it's like the fights against steroid testing. Those are the ones that are going to get judged like that.
Wait, actually, hold on. Because I am curious about this. Lo, you are a judge, right? So you would have experience. Do you prefer like watching fights on TV and judging them or like in person?
Oh, definitely on TV because there is a fixed position and there are studies that are done. We've learned about this in my training and stuff. There are studies done that judge three and judge five have biases towards the ring that they are close to because they are close to, like I think judge three is closer to the red corner, judge five is closer to the blue corner. And when there is a close round, they will favor actually the side that they are closest to. So, there's some negatives to that, to be in such a fixed position. One thing though, that I'm glad that we've done, in USA Boxing just here recently, we have allowed judges to stand instead of just sitting. We're allowed to stand now. We can like kind of lean over and look more. It kind of gives us a little bit more leeway there. But like, for example, at National Golden Gloves, when I was there, they had ring lights up in the corners, and they were blinding us. We couldn't even see these fighters in there. And, you know, you're in the middle of the round. You're not allowed to avert your eyes. You're not allowed to turn and talk to nobody. Like, you're not allowed to do anything that would even insinuate that you are cheating or communicating with other judges. So you can't say anything about these lights that are blinding you. You really just have to do the best that you can. And you know what? That sucks for those boxers. Because it's terrible.
Hey, I'd be like, shit, I've been looking up for 3 hours because my neck hurt.
Did you guys ever see that thing? It was a UFC fight, and the judges did have monitors. They could watch like the camera view, right? So they were looking at the monitors the whole time. But Joe Rogan didn't know this, and he was like, the judges are not even watching the fight. He won like two rounds about this. He's like, this is unbelievable. They have not looked up once. How are they judging the fight? They're texting or something like that. And then someone was like, oh, they have monitors.
That is my biggest fear. That is my biggest fear when I judge, because I'm so paranoid. I will keep my hands on the table and I'll look up. And when that round is over, my eyes go down to the table and I don't look anywhere. I don't move because I'm so scared that someone, because everyone in that crowd's watching you and you can feel everyone's eyes on you when the round is over. So I make every opportunity to just not move. I don't move.
Go ahead, Ty.
What's up? Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
I had a 7-5 Beterbiev.
What did you
It ain't fair as room.
Listen, I had a 7-5 Beterbiev. I was standing right next to Sean Porter. He had an 8-5 for Bivol. Most of the room.
Ty, what you been drinking tonight, gang?
What you mean? Effective aggressiveness. Like all that. I had him winning. He won the fight.
Nah, you said it was 8-5, gang.
No, Porter had 8-5 for Bivol.
Porter had 8. Porter had Bivol.
Oh, 8-4. 8-4.
8-4. I had 7-5 Baturbia.
I could see it any one of these scores because, again, I had 5 rounds for Bivol, 5 rounds for Better BF, and then 2 tie rounds, which if you go either way, it's either one, it's all of these scores that everybody's mentioning, which is why I'm saying it's fair.
And majority of the room, like I said, if it was 30 people in the room, majority had it for Baturbia. Most had Baturbia winning the fight. I just hopped on Twitter, so I don't know what y'all got the scores with, but most people I was around had Baturbia winning the fight.
It's pretty split. I think it's pretty split.
I think it's pretty split from
all the boxers are saying that Bivol should have won.
All the people that can't punch their way out of a fucking wet paper bag are saying Bivol won.
I mean, that's right.
Is that how you talk about your king, BB?
Hey, relax.
I mean, that's it was crazy.
Basically, all the happy foot boxers are the ones that need to go.
Man, y'all gonna stop disrespecting Andre Ward.
What's funny about that, too, is more often than not, when fights get scored by fighters, they tend to favor the guy that fights like them.
Yeah, like all the happy feet fighters fucking favored Bivol.
But everybody does that. We all do that too.
Andre Ward was happy feet.
But my point is like, because there's a lot of people that would be like, oh, this pro boxer said this. Like, well, yeah, he consistently favors the guy that fights like him. So yeah, it would make sense that Shakur Stevenson scored the fight for Bivol because he fights just like fucking Bivol.
And listen, I like
to score fights for the guy that's the worst of the two.
Shakur don't fight like Bivol.
Because I was going to say,
way worse than Bivol.
For Floyd Mayweather.
Let me
put it that way. He tries to fight like him. His mindset is the same as him.
Shakur's defense is Bivol's defense.
It's completely different.
Well, completely
different. Sean Porter had it, he had 4 rounds of nothing, Bivol.
That's what I had it. It could have been 3-1, though. That third round could have went to Archer. But it could.
I mean, both of them realistic.
Minimum, my nigga. 3-1 minimum. So if you telling me after 4 rounds, this nigga fucking Better BF won 7 out of what? What would that be? 7 out of 8, my nigga? Fuck out of here.
7-5 Better BF is a reasonable card. I know.
That'd be a wash.
Still up. I mean, he did though.
And moved. So he still up and moved.
Did you see Real Deal B scorecard? That shit was so trash, nigga.
That was a good scorecard.
7-5 Baturbia.
BF won out of the last 8 rounds. You telling me Bivol only won 1? That's trash. Right. That's a trash.
Yeah, let's ask the real. Hold on. Let's ask the real question. Nino, how much money you lose?
My nigga, we ain't even gotta talk about that. But like I said, when you get it, you don't worry about it. Like I said,
no easy money for Nino.
You know, no easy money for me either.
I would really be mad. Frank Brown just got his ass whooped. And here we go.
He really got cheated.
If you listen to Brunch Boxing, you follow my parlay. My parlay hit. I had Ja under 7, the other guy by knockout, and Baturbia on the money line.
What was the odds on that parlay?
It was plus +995.
Hey. Woo.
That's a good hit, boy.
Damn.
Shit. Let me send you my Apple Pay. Never mind. You got my number, nigga.
I got to be honest with you. Losing my parlay early made boxing more enjoyable today. Like, it just got out the way.
Hold on. You lost another parlay.
You weren't worried about it?
Yeah, I wasn't worried about it. Because watching Baturbia and Bivol and Holby were knocking really ruined the fight for you.
That's it. If you picking a fight, you're locked in. I ain't even going for him no more.
The guy I picked won. You know, he won. He just did it too early. I need him to prolong it. You know what I mean?
Well, I think it was interesting what Ty said and how he's sitting there with Sean. Ty, you said you were sitting with Sean. You both were sitting together watching the same thing, and you all had it different. I think it's just at the end of the day, that's just how it's going to be. Everyone's going to see it different.
See, me and Sean, we agree on the scorecard. We don't agree on his Hall of Fame case, but we agree on the scorecard for sure.
Ezra, this is a recorded space. We got off topic.
Do you guys feel kind of me that can be?
Thank you. Say again, ETH.
You guys feel Benavidez can beat Better Beef?
Yeah.
We just seen the man lose tonight. Cuz why wouldn't we think Benavidez could beat him?
Like,
yeah, no, I think
he's gonna be more active than Bivol was.
Nino, you need to get the hate out of your heart, man. Look, Lomachenko told y'all who the fighter that wins the championship rounds in a close fight wins the decision, and Beterbiev have won both of them. So therefore,
I don't think that necessarily means that like a nigga could lose fucking 9 rounds in a row, and you telling me just because he win 10, 11, and 12, he gonna win the fight? Fuck out of here.
That don't make sense. I need to see Benavidez have a better second half to his fight than he had in the Bosnick fight. If he has a better second half, then I can start believing that's a really good fight. But
yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, Beterbiev ain't have a particularly great first half of this fight, you know. And I mean, not only that, but he didn't have a great about first 3-4 rounds of the Anthony Yard fight or the Marcus Brown fight. So I mean, I think that's there's kind of a pattern there with him.
Have we ever seen them two next to each other, Beterbiev and Benavidez? Because to me, it's like sometimes I'll think fights will go a certain way until I see them next to each other, and then I'm like, oh wait, that guy is way bigger than him. I didn't even realize that. Like even if they are the same weight, they carry their weight differently. So I'd have to see them right.
The two of them are built very different.
Styles make fights. He ain't gonna be fighting the back foot how Bivol was, defensive responsible as Bivol was. So he can be easy to.
Yeah, honestly, I think Benavidez will probably try to push Beterbiev on his heels. To be real with you, I think he's gonna try and see if Archer's actually capable of fighting backwards.
And he's a pressure fighter too. So I mean, I wouldn't count him out for sure.
Until he gets hit in the mouth.
Yeah, but has Benavidez had a work rate where he can punch for a full 12 rounds?
When have we seen him not?
Wait, what was the question?
No, can Benavidez keep up a work rate for 12 rounds?
Well, that's been
it depends on the kind of work rate you're talking about, really. I mean, the thing is, like, he's a guy that likes to fight in, like, flurries and spurts, you know what I mean? So it's not like he's going to be throwing every single second of the round or whatever, but neither is Beterbiev. You know what I mean? So, like, you know, once again, I think it's going to be a matter of the moment, round to round, you know, depending on who's actually controlling the action.
My big question is what he going to do? Is it going to be enough to, like, keep Beterbiev honest, similarly to how Bivol kept him honest early? Like, does he hit too soft to not keep him honest?
No, I think it might be. I think it might be because I think the thing about it is Benavidez isn't necessarily heavy-handed, but I think his hands are quick enough that he's able to really hit you with, like, pop. You know, he's able to really, like, snap your shit. You know, it's like he stings you with, like 5, 6, 7, 8 shots, you know? And so, like, in between that, I mean, Beterbiev is going to be willing to really, like, have to eat. Like, be, like, on some Chavez, Meldrick, Taylor type shit, for real.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
Hey, Az, how you going to fight, Az?
I had it for Bivol. I had it 7-5 for Bivol.
Okay. I just got it. How Matt scored? Because he ain't talking
to Matt me. Had it for Beterbiev. I think 7-5. Or did he have 8-4? Is that what he said? I don't remember.
No, but I know
he
had
it for Beterbiev. He all but said that. He ain't said. He all but said it now. He all but said it.
What? Are you saying that he was Team Kate? Hashtag Team Kate.
I ain't even gonna lie. Her fucking reaction to Bivol losing was funny.
It sounds like you talking through a GameCube, my nigga.
Not the GameCube.
I don't even know why I said that, cuz. I don't even, you feel me, but that is what it is.
What were you saying, QP? Say it again.
Hold up. Can you hear me?
There you go, my nigga.
Sorry, my bad. No, I was laughing when she showed her reaction to fucking Bivol losing. Because, like, that smile, she, like, smiled exactly like the Cheshire Cat in fucking Alice in Wonderland. Same fucking smile.
That was a happy woman.
Hold up, what?
That was a happy woman.
Cuz, did you just say Alice in Wonderland?
Yes, you've never seen Alice in Wonderland, the Cheshire Cat, the fucking cat that has the fucking biggest smile ever.
Ezra, end the space, Ezra, end the space.
All right, thank you guys for listening to Brunch Boxing. We will be back on Saturday next week, 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 o'clock Eastern Standard, with our host, Matt, don't call him MVO, and me, Ezra. That's it. That's a wrap.